Welcome to American Dreamland, a place where inequality thrives and cash controls the nation. The state of our country may seem hopeless, but I'm here to tell you the dream's not dead. Hello everyone, I'm DJ Scarlett, and in this podcast series, I'll be breaking down complex social issues into clear and concise 15-minute episodes. These issues may seem unbelievable or unimportant due to our society's widely held belief that America is the greatest and most advanced nation on earth, or because you believe that none of these issues affect you directly. But not only are these issues incredibly real, but they shape all of our experiences, whether we realize it or not. In today's episode, I'm going to be focusing on the American dream, defined as the ideal by which equality of opportunity is available to any American, allowing the highest aspirations and goals to be achieved. The American dream is something that's been ingrained in our minds since childhood. We are told what sets our country apart from the rest is the opportunity to achieve almost anything, as long as we develop a strong work ethic and good morals. The American dream centers around the ideals of individualism, equality, and opportunity, and is presented to us as this incredible yet attainable goal. We are conditioned to believe all we have to do is work hard in order to achieve it, when in reality, the promise of the American dream is not only false, but is rigged against us. The idea that anyone can achieve the American dream by simply working hard and being a good person is undeniably false. Inequality in America is thriving, social mobility is limited, and the rich control our government and pass laws to keep things this way. I'll go into all of this in a moment, but before I do, I want to talk about what I mean when I say the American dream is a rigged system. If someone sets out to attain the American dream, they have the expectation that with enough honest, hard work, and dedication, they will be able to achieve their goals and fulfill their dreams. Even if they came from nothing, have no money, property, or connections, the promise of equal opportunity the dream embodies would almost guarantee success, as long as you work hard enough. But we all know this is not our reality. Too many people have tried and failed for it to be, so why do we still believe in this impossible ideal? The reason is held in our culture's value of individuality. Our society puts a lot of value on independence, and in the American dream is a very individualistic ideal. So when the majority of people inevitably fail, we are told and even believe the reason we are not able to attain the American dream is because we didn't work hard enough, or because we are not a morally upstanding person and therefore don't deserve to reach our goals. Instead of blaming our broken system, we believe this propaganda and place the blame of failure on ourselves and our perceived inability to work hard enough, not the lack of equal opportunity in our country. We are conditioned to believe that the people working day in and day out at grueling minimum wage jobs and still barely being able to scrape by are somehow failing due to their own personal flaws, rather than the flawed and unequal system set in place. We are also told those people who are successfully living the American dream are able to do so because they have earned it through hard work and moral discipline. Although this is sometimes true, we must examine how privilege and inequality factor into a person's position in life, along with their work ethic. For example, if someone lives a comfortable life because they are born into a wealthy and influential family, does that mean they are necessarily a harder worker than someone who, for example, works two minimum wage jobs and is also a single parent, but is barely able to put food on the table? It's obvious they're not. And therefore, the idea the American dream can be achieved by anyone with enough hard work is proven false. Now that I've talked about how the American dream is a rigged system, I'm going to explain exactly why I believe this and provide you guys with some solid facts and evidence to support my claim. In order to do this, I'm going to break down the American dream into three main ideals: equality, opportunity, and control of one's own destiny. Let's start with the idea of equality. It's obvious there's an enormous problem with inequality in the United States, particularly within the constructs of race and gender. People of color and women do not have many of the same privileges provided to white men, and things become even more complicated when examining the experience of those affected by the intersection of race and gender. Evidence of racial inequality is abundant not only in our social lives, but also economically. According to US Census data, poverty rates of African Americans and Hispanics are consistently 3 times that of whites. And according to research conducted at Cornell University, African Americans exhibit much higher rates of poverty, unemployment, and low income. They are also underrepresented in jobs at the top of the occupational hierarchy and overrepresented at the bottom. In terms of societal racism, surveys show Black people are rated as less intelligent, more violence-prone, and more likely to prefer living off of welfare than whites. According to sociologist Robert Heiner, this prejudice is just the beginning. He states, "As is always the case with prejudice, a self-fulfilling cycle emerges, and whites are inclined to blame Blacks on their perceived lack of motivation. Then, perceiving them to be poorly motivated, employers are less likely to hire Blacks. Thus, as a consequence of existing prejudices, African Americans are given limited opportunities to close the economic gap, a gap that was created by an unfair system rather than the failure of a race." So we can see not only do people of color experience social and systemic discrimination and obstacles, but how they are perceived creates a system that perpetuates this inequality. In terms of inequality due to gender, women are forced to deal with issues such as unequal pay, workplace discrimination, sexualization, degradation, and gender-based violence. According to Heiner, there are a number of factors that explain women's lower status in society, such as direct discrimination, patriarchal culture, gendered socialization, and occupational segregation. Now that I've gone over the very real discrimination people of color and women face, I want to talk about the issue of economic inequality. We've all heard about the widening gap between the rich and the poor, along with the problems of the rapidly diminishing middle class, but just how skewed is the distribution of our nation's cash? According to a 2010 study from Levy Economic Institute of New York, the top 10% of households controlled more than 70% of the nation's wealth in 2007, with that number growing steadily. According to economist Edward Wolfe, the wealthiest 1% of American households owns 40% of the country's wealth today, which is more wealth than the bottom 90% combined. And that gap between the ultra-wealthy and everyone else has only become wider in the past several decades. Not only is the wealth gap staggering, but the amount of wealth distributed is even more astonishing. The top 20% of households' average net worth was about $3 million, while the middle 20% net worth was only about $81,000. And at the bottom, 40% of households' net worth is actually negative, coming in at minus $8,900 due to the crushing debt weighing down the majority of Americans. Another form of inequality resides in our capitalist system and stems from the privatization of resources such as healthcare, prescription drugs, and even agriculture. Since these resources are privatized and therefore not regulated by the government, companies who have a monopoly over resources can inflate prices to extremes. An example of this is the EpiPen, which in 2016 saw its price raised from $100 to more than $600, making a life-saving device almost unattainable for many Americans. Since EpiPens are not regulated by the government and there are no competing brands, EpiPen can adjust their price to whatever they desire. And this isn't just limited to EpiPens. The entire prescription drug market is inflated to the point that affording basic healthcare means you either need money for insurance, won't be able to pay off medical bills, or may even choose to not seek treatment due to expenses. What makes this worse is the fact that cancer treatments that go for $70,000 in the US only cost about $2,500 in places like India, or that on average, the world's top 20 selling medications are 3 times more expensive in the US than all of Great Britain. This massive inflation of prices prevents most people from being able to afford basic healthcare, meaning they will either become too sick to pursue the American dream or spend the rest of their life paying off unnecessarily expensive medical bills. This inequality ties directly to my second outlined aspect of the American dream, which is opportunity. In this instance, I'll frame opportunity as social mobility, being able to climb the social and economic ladder through hard work and dedication. If someone faces obstacles due to their race, gender, or class, social mobility will already be a challenge. But if we have faith in the promise of the American dream, as we are told to do, these obstacles should be fairly attainable, provided we work hard enough. However, according to a 2008 study on intragenerational economic mobility, aka the rate a person's income level changes throughout their career, more than half of individuals in the bottom income quintile remain there 10 years later, and only 4% reach the top quintile. And not only is social mobility difficult to begin with, but a recent study done by economists at the University of Massachusetts Boston leads research to believe there is a growing decline in social mobility, stating, "It is increasingly the case that no matter what your educational background is, where you start has become increasingly important for where you end up. And in the presence of increasing inequality, falling mobility implies that as the rungs of the ladder have moved farther apart, moving between them has become more difficult." So not only is social mobility unattainable for most people already, but it's getting even harder to climb the social ladder as income inequality increases in America. The third and final aspect of the American dream I'm going to examine is control over one's own destiny, which is represented in our country's system of government. Since the United States claims to be a democracy, we are given the opportunity to cast our vote and choose our representatives, which are then supposed to make decisions based on the values of those who elected them. Unfortunately, we don't have as much of a say in our country's laws as we think we do. According to a recent study at Princeton University, the central point that emerges from the research is that economic elites and organized groups representing business interests have substantial independent impacts on U.S. government policy, while mass-based interest groups and average citizens have little or no independent influence. The study also finds the data shows politicians catering to rich people and groups organized to advance their own narrow interests. Worse still, those interest groups tend to lobby for positions that are negatively related to the preferences of average citizens. This means the only time citizens get what they vote for is the few times our needs coincide with those of the ultra-rich. So, in the past few minutes, I've broken down the American dream and explained how it is not only political propaganda, but also a system rigged against the average American. The aspects of equality, opportunity, and control of one's own destiny that embody this dream are not only lacking from our country, but actively working against everyday people like you and me. In the face of such massive inequality, it's easy to accept these unequal power dynamics as unchangeable. However, there's a lot we can do to make the American dream more of a reality, and that only starts with the education of the issues. In terms of inequality, one of the most important steps we need to take is the mere recognition of racial and gender-based inequality in America. After we have recognized this as a real issue, we can begin social and institutional actions and programs in order to boost voices and experiences of the oppressed. When focusing on the problems of unequal wage distribution, social immobility, and lack of control of government, the solutions reside within our own system. However, I can't stress enough how important basic education and recognition of these issues is in order for changes to be made. After this basic recognition, we can make moves to close economic loopholes, hold politicians accountable through media, and introduce laws that would allow money controlled by the 1% to go back into the market and the economy. Even though the American dream is not what it should be, inequality is rampant in our society and our government is controlled by the ultra-rich, there is a hope for the American dream. And that hope starts with reformation and becoming educated on issues that not only directly affect you, but have the power to influence our entire country. Thanks for tuning in to American Dreamland. Make sure to listen to my next episode where I'll be talking about American crime and who has the power to define it. Have a wonderful week and remember, the dream's not dead. I'm DJ Scarlett, signing off.